Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to the broadcast Let's Face the Issues. We face the issues each day, Monday through Friday, and as we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And then Jesus boldly proclaims in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, we talk about facing the issues. We do so not based on ideology or philosophy or some denominational distinctive, but we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. And I pray that each day as you listen to this broadcast, it emboldens you to take a stand for the truth and to be willing to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. I want to talk about today a subject that I believe should be real and relevant to the hearts and the lives of every child of God, to every Christian. I've had people ask down through the years, when should Christians speak up? How long should Christians be silent? What should Christians do when they see inequities taking place in society and in the societal system, a governmental political machine, if you will, in the world in which we live? What should we do? Let me just introduce it with an elongated monologue today that I believe will set the stage for answering that question, when should Christians speak up? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe if you've heard me on even one occasion, you would understand it is my passionate philosophy and opinion that Christians as salt and light need to confront the world in which we're living in with truth. But our nation is being rocked on every side. We're in a condition today where Matthew 24 speaks about wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing wars taking place, battles in Syria, Russia, North Korea, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, and the war with Islam that we didn't declare. It was a declared war upon America by the Islamic jihadist, and we're having to respond to that battle, and it's a constant daily battle. And I don't know that it's one in your lifetime and mine that we'll ever see truly ended. Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there'll not be any real peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, returns and sets up his throne out of the new temple that shall be built in Jerusalem, and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years, and there shall be peace and prosperity and pleasantness that the world has yet to see. But we're facing the battles. We're facing the battle of abortion, the battle of the sodomite marriages, and the LGBTQ demands for special rights, and the so-called HRO, human rights laws, that's being attempted to be thrust upon citizens in America, city by city and county by county, and municipality by municipality. And so, therefore, we need to understand we're in a desperate time in our nation. What we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is actually the watching of the prophetic word of God come to fruition. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And verse 6 of that says that we need to recognize that and to flee away from it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. As we understand the word perilous times, perilous means dangerous, deadly, depraved, difficult, devastating, desperate. Those are the days that we're in our nation and around the globe. Christian persecution and Christian prosecution is on the rapid increase on a global basis. We're finding Christian bakers and florists and wedding planners, small Christian businesses are now being prosecuted because of their faith and obedience to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. When should Christians speak up? Go back to the archives of history. When Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany, he was allowed to do what he was able to do in the decimation of over 6 million Jews. And rarely do you hear historians talk about publicly. Some 10 or 12 million non-Jews were also slain as a result of Hitler's coming to power. And yet Christians were silent. They would talk about it in the back room. They would talk about it in the privacy of their homes. But they did not stand up. They did not stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we'll open the lines for you to call and have your dialogue and discussion and have your input. You can do so by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 is the number that you can dial today to join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have been in a position where you've recognized the need to speak up and you've been silent. Perhaps you've been in a position where there's been the ultimate onslaught of the enemy, and yet you're sense was that as a Christian, we're to be humble, we're to be silent, we're to be seen and not heard, and that mindset. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't find any place in the Word of God where that is advocated or that philosophy perpetuated in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But may I remind us, we're finding Christian persecution and Christian prosecution as never before in America and around the globe. It's not just in America, but we're finding it with the major, major onslaught today in America. But we've been watching as Americans for many years now as we've seen this taking place in what we refer to as foreign countries or the nations, with the philosophy being perpetuated by the politicians and others in America, many religious leaders, that all those things could never take place in America. Because after all, we have a constitution. After all, we are a republic. After all, we the people, our nation was formed on the Judeo-Christian principles, and that couldn't happen here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it take place today. In fact, one of the things that is so frightening, and it should be to every Christian, when you analyze what's happening just across the northern border in Canada. Well, the Prime Minister Trudeau, said, and I quote, "Christians are the worst part of Canadian society." Christians are the worst part of Canadian society. Well, that is the general philosophy by many today in America. It's just not as brazenly on the front page in the top drawer of news as you find it in Canada. But may I remind us, we're being openly demeaned, persecuted, and prosecuted as never before. And it's because of your faith, because of my faith, because we placed our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a mindset, somehow, some way, that we are less than proper. There's a mindset today that is running rampant through the court systems and through multitudes of the political philosophies that says, okay, you Christians, you can have your Bible, you can have your crosses, you can have your prayer, you can have your Bible studies, but do it in the confines of the walls of that which is called the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the building that we meet in is not the church. The church is the group of born-again believers, the group of those that are the called-out ones, the ecclesia, the called-out ones, the body of Christ, the congregation of Jesus Christ. We are the church. And there's not any place in the Word of God or anything in the historic fundamentals of the founding of our nation that says the church, the body of Christ, is to be in a room and to be silent in prayer and in the Bible study, and that we cannot be openly seen and heard in the society in which we live in. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, when should Christians speak up? Christians are told that our religious free speech is subordinate to the LGBTQ demands today. In fact, one judge just a few months back made the brazen statement in his rendering a decision with a LGBTQ case where they had filed suit against a Christian business person. And the judge said that the LGBTQ rights take precedence over, and I use the word he used, trump the religious liberties of Christians. Nation after nation is now coming out publicly against Christianity, against Christians and believers in general. Judges are ruling against the freedom of religion in case after case, mostly in cases where the LGBTQ advocates are attempting to force Christians to embrace the ungodly sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with the question today, when should Christians speak up? And I'm still in an elongated monologue to get to the point of where I want us to be, to challenge you, the listener, and we, the Christians in America, and especially here in Jacksonville, Florida, to understand that it's time we come out of the closet. It's time to open the church doors and enter into the stream of life in which we're in society, and be salt and light. We're watching this on a national basis. The question needs to be asked then, ladies and gentlemen, should Christians love the enemies of the church? Yes. Should Christians love the lost? Yes. Should Christians wake up, stand up, be seen, and be heard? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you listening to this broadcast, you want to join in the dialogue and discussion, perhaps you have an opposing view, that's okay. We're not going to be disagreeable, though we may disagree. You're free to call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're to be salt and light in the darkened, dying, decaying society in which we're in. You go back and study the scripture in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and others had been beaten and thrown in prison simply for preaching on the street corner, simply for standing and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were beaten and thrown in prison. And when challenged, when released, and they did the same thing again, they were challenged. And Peter spoke up, and Peter stood up, and Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I'm not advocating by any stretch of the imagination that we become anarchist and disobey the laws of the land. But anytime there's a law that contravenes, that circumvents, or tries to destroy or overpower the Word of God and the authority of God's Word, Christians need to stand up and speak up. And when it comes to the sodomite lifestyle, are we to love them? Yes, absolutely, unequivocally. Are we to embrace their lifestyle? Absolutely, no, not in any stretch of the imagination. There is a sense that says that Christians ought to be tolerant of them, and so also with the Islamic movement today, the Christians ought to be tolerant with them, and yet they are the most intolerant two groups of people on the face of the globe. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul stood against the political anti-gospel leadership in his day when he was challenged and chided and beaten, and he refused to be silenced. You want to study that? Look at Acts chapter 22 and chapter 23. In fact, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 3, the scripture is very clear. Then said Saul, speaking of Paul, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. He challenges them for their stand against him because of what he was saying and doing in relationship to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we find in society today multitudes of pastors, and if you're a pastor listening, I'm not trying to demean you, not trying to berate you by any stretch of the imagination, but I want us to understand that there's a need for Christians and Christian pastors to take a stand in the society in which we're living in. We need to confront the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, unless we Christians stand up and fight for our God-given liberties, we are going to continue to see the criminalization of Christianity. I believe we have a caller on the line. If you would, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, this is Tom in Jacksonville.
Yes,
and
sir.
I've listened, I'm a long-time listener, and I just applaud what you do. You're a breath of fresh air. you tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and I know you catch immense flack for it, just like Christ did. But I just want to thank you, and I need to ask you a question. I'm 71, and for years I've always thought that it's Jesus talked about those who saw the fig tree blossom wouldn't taste death. And I look at the world situation like what you're talking about. We're being so persecuted as Christians. And Israel surrounded by enemies, Iran, when they get their hands on a bomb, it's going straight to Israel. How can the rapture, can it be far off? Can they just keep putting this off, putting Band-Aids on it? Or should we be really looking for this to happen soon?
Tom, that's a wonderful question, a great, great question, and very timely, I believe, because we're watching the unfurling of God's prophetic truth coming about through the daily news, by the newspaper, and by the media on the front page and the high-profile television cameras that's literally high-profiling the prophetic text. Yes, I believe the rapture could happen at any moment. The rapture could take place before I finish this broadcast. The rapture could take place before the next breath of fresh air in the lungs of the Christians listening. The rapture is the next thing on the prophetic calendar of God. Immediately following the rapture of the church is the Antichrist stepping on the scene and ruling and reigning this old world for the 7 years of tribulation, and then the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to destroy the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, and the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ with the sword of his mouth. But what we're watching, Tom, and that's a wonderful question, as I said, what we're watching and seeing what President Trump has done, and God's just using him as the catalyst to bring these things about. I understand that. Nothing magical or fantastic, nothing that would be considered as high piety in the president's life or work. He's simply, I believe, unknowingly being moved and motivated by the power of God to see what's happening. By designating Jerusalem, as the capital of Israel, he has simply carried out what the Bible has said for over 4,000 years. Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem, or the king of Salem, which was the Old Testament term, the old term for Jerusalem. And I see what is taking place as a result of that. Now with their withholding $255 million of funds from the Palestinians, we've been giving the Palestinians, the anti-Jew, the anti-God people in Israel, we've been giving them taxpayer dollars of about $600 million a year. And now finally, there's a decision made that we're going to withhold $255 million that's already due, and they're refusing to release it to them. Wonderful. I am thankful for that. We're watching now some backbone, if you will, in the civility of the government in the United States of America to do what I believe is being obedient to God, to being obedient to the Word of God. So I'm thankful that President Trump has those spiritual leaders whispering in his ear, I believe, as well as his simply doing that which he sees as right. And it's simply, if you want to know what's happening in the world, look at what's happening with Israel. Israel is God's timepiece for God's ultimate determination of when the rapture will come and what will take place. And may I hastily say that we as Christians ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to pray that this president continues on the track that he's on now. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Tom, as you're listening, the determination to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel is not something arbitrary and capricious. In 1995, Jerusalem Embassy Act was passed in 1995 by both Democrats and the Republicans. And for the past four presidents, they refused because that was supposed to take place by December the 2nd of 1999. And they've not followed the letter of the law, the legislation, and now we find a president that's following the legislative act that's already been given, his authority's already been given to do so. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, the land has, a choice piece of land was bought years ago, maybe in 96, but it's never been occupied. The land is already bought by the United States, but Dr., one question. Are you realize that the Jews have won 127 Nobel Prizes in math, literature, physics, and such? The Arabs have won four. Are we really waiting on when you said, are we waiting on a Jewish scientist to invent a time machine, go back, get Jesus, bring him forward, and we'll have a theocracy under Christ, which is the only government that'll ever stand. Is it science that's holding us back, or is it just God's timing?
God's timing. In fact, God's timing is the only thing. It's not science. It's not math. It's not anything that any politician or any people or any person or any ethnic group can do. But you see, May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, it was God's timepiece. It started God's prophetic clock ticking at that moment. When Israel became a nation, God started disengaging with the Gentile worlds and started reengaging with the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, and we're seeing an increasing focus on Israel and a decreasing focus on the Gentile worlds. As God continues to focus on his prophetic calendar, he is on time. God's never late. He's never missed an appointment. He's always on time. And his perfect timing, just like when Jesus was born in Galatians 4:4, it says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came forth. It is the fullness of God's timing when the clock ticks and the Christians are snatched out of this old world by the rapture, the rapturus, the sudden seizing of the body of Christ from this old wretched world, and then God's timepiece, time clock, escalates in that 7 years of tribulation when the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the false prophet with him will do signs, miracles, and wonders, and the whole world will follow after him. But ultimately, we need to understand the end of the story. We win in the end. Brother Tom, thank you so much for your call. It's a blessing to have you to call in, and I pray that God will bless you today. And ladies and gentlemen, as we understand what is taking place prophetically, it should cause us to be more focused on what's happening right now and how we need to be salt and light. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the house in Tallahassee, in the house there's a bill that's been introduced, House Bill 347. House Bill 347 is introduced by the loose likes, lost liberals, as I call them, in Tallahassee. It's bought and paid for by the sodomite money and the sodomite lobbyists in Tallahassee. But House Bill 347, if passed, will take effect on July the 1st of 2018. That is 6 months from now. It will modify the Florida Civil Rights Act of 1992. It will prohibit the so-called discrimination against the sexually confused people in society, that is the LGBT group. It will protect the so-called gender identity of those that are sexually confused. This House Bill 347 will force Christian businesses to allow a man to use the woman's locker room, the women's restrooms, dressing rooms, showers, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about now a citywide or a countywide or a districtwide LGBTQ HRO bill. We're talking about a bill that will contaminate all of the state of Florida. We're talking about House Bill 347 that is one of the worst pieces of legislation I've seen go before the House and the Senate in Tallahassee for about 40 years. It will absolutely destroy the homes and the families. It will allow a fully biological male to simply feel feminine and have the right to use the women's facilities. If you don't think that is detrimental, then we simply need to wake up and smell the coffee, as the old cliche goes. House Bill 347 is a wicked, evil bill. So we asked the question at the outset of the broadcast, when should Christians stand up? We should stand up now. Every Christian should pick up the telephone and call their legislators for your district in the House and the Senate and say, vote no, no, no on House Bill 347. You see, any Christian that is silent, any Christian that sits back in silence, we are culpable with the outcome of what happens in society. And if this bill passes, any Christian business person can be prosecuted, persecuted, penalized, and put in prison for noncompliance. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you have no choice. Call, email, visit your district house member and ask them to please, please, please vote no on House Bill 347. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a precedence in Scripture that ought to motivate us to be obedient to what the Scripture says. In fact, in Ezekiel, the third chapter, the 16th and following verses, the Scripture is very clear in 17th verse of the third chapter of Ezekiel. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And he goes on to say, that if we fail to give the warning, if we fail to take a stand, the blood is on our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want any of that blood on my hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be viewed as you could have said something, you could have done something, and you were silent. God forbid that there ever be a finger pointed at this preacher and say he was silent and he didn't take a stand. I believe that it is a responsibility of every child of God, for every Christian, to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen before it's eternally too late. And this House Bill 347 needs to be voted down. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a breath of fresh air. That wretched bill is there. That needs to be voted no, no, no on that bill. But there's some good news. Representative Jay Fant. Jay has introduced House Bill 871. House Bill 871 is a bill that basically counters House Bill 347. Now, a number of Christians are aware of House Bill 871. And they understand and realize the gravity and the weightiness of this. This bill will protect every Christian business in the state of Florida. It will disallow any county, any municipality, any city from passing a special exception bill for those that are sexually perverted and confused over their sexuality. It would prevent any municipality from passing legislation that will, in essence, counter the morals and ethics and values of those citizens in the state of Florida. House Bill 871 will protect every business in Florida. The bill will not allow the city or the county, municipality, to pass any HRO that gives special unconstitutional rights to those that are sexually confused. Call Jay Fant's office, local office, or the office in Tallahassee. Thank him for being brave enough to introduce House Bill 871. Call every representative and senator that you know. Go online. Look up your legislators. Call them. Email them and say vote for House Bill 871 and vote no on House Bill 347. Ladies and gentlemen, this is urgent. Here's an article in my hands. Professor suggests using art classes to help kids turn out queer. Now, I'm not trying to be crass. That's the article. A professor at the School of Arts of Institute of Chicago recently argued in favor of using art education to help kids turn out queer. He is complaining about the heterosexual normative in the society, and he's saying it's pervasive in the Christian and in the school curriculum. And he suggests that we can perhaps that we should help our kids turn out queer through queer affirmation and strategies in the classroom. What age group is he talking about? Kindergarten through high school, K through 12. In the K through 12 arts teachers, he's advocating that that be done in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as Christians. I understand that we're aliens passing through this society. I understand fully what the Word of God says, that we're going to be persecuted because Jesus Christ was persecuted. We're going to be hated because Christ was hated. But that does not give us the lead or the authorization to sit down, shut up, and be silent. We're talking about the subject, should Christians, when should Christians stand up and speak up? The time is now. The place is now. The time is at hand. May I remind us we need to be not be silent any longer, but stand and speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Christian's responsibility to be salt and light. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you again tomorrow on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.